Hello, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. I have some butthole done work.
Okay.
So we talked in episode one of this season. You were talking about the meatpacking district, and they say meat market in there.
Yeah.
Which I learned so much about this, and a restaurant that we mentioned and mispronounced. We said
how do we mispronounce it?
It's Florent.
Oh, okay.
And we said Florent. But I just watched a whole documentary called Florent, Queen of the Meat Market. That's really cool. And actually something else we missed, and I thought maybe we talked about it, but I guess we didn't because you said we didn't and you're smarter than me, is that the episode where Aiden takes Carrie to meet his parents or says, you should meet my parents for breakfast.
My parents get in tomorrow night, so they're probably going to want to crash. But I thought, you know, you'd meet us for breakfast the next day at Florent.
And they're in the front of Florent and they show that clip in the documentary. And the documentary is super cool because it talks about how Florent kind of started the whole changing of the meatpacking district when it was called the meat market to the meatpacking district. And they talk about how Sex and the City kind of, well, they don't say it often, but I even looked it up and they're like, Sex and the City kind of like ruined it in a sense, like made people go there for these things, which happens. And they say, like, this happens in every neighborhood of New York. It's not because of Sex and the City. It's not because of Florent. It's just these things happen. But it's a really cool documentary because there's just so many things that we've been talking about Samantha moving into that neighborhood. And you see it all happening in real time because the restaurant closed in 2008.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I'm going to go back and look at that episode because it's Aiden meeting his parents for brunch,
right,
and then Carrie shows up.
Yeah.
I can't believe that I've never heard him say the name of it.
He says it because they say the clip. And then they go there and he's like, I think you'll really like this place. And it definitely is Florent.
I remember us talking about it and saying it looks like it's somewhere in Chelsea, which we were just off by a few blocks.
Right.
Like that. I thought it was like five blocks further to the north.
Yeah, but it's a super cool story.
What did you watch the documentary on?
Tom has it and let me watch it. But I mean, he bought it on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
So you can buy it, I'm sure, anywhere like that. But yeah, it's really cool, especially if you don't live in New York and you want to learn more about like the downtown celebrities, a lot of which are still working and doing shows. You know, there's people in there like Sherry Vines in there, Penny Arcade, Dirty Martini, Murray Hill, you know, it's really cool. There are some wieners and foul language.
Okay.
So don't watch with children.
Forewarned.
Yeah.
So we're here today to talk about The Perfect Present.
Yep.
This originally debuted July 6, 2003, directed by David Frankel. He's going to do like four episodes this season and written by Jenny Bix. Before we do the recap, though, I guess I have my own personal butthole on.
Okay.
Which is just perhaps a revelation that I, or a decision that I made that I'm kind of surprised it took me this long to make. I've decided that there was no time that passed between season five and season six. That I think most seasons kind of take place. I know they call it Eternal Spring.
No, in this episode, they clearly state it's July.
Right. So I think that most seasons take place, say like, May to August, and then we just skip September through like February and then jump back in around March or April the next. I feel like that's how most seasons are sort of structured, whether they say it or not. And I feel like season five took place in like May and June, and this season started in June.
Mm.
And I don't know that it matters, and it does kind of throw the whole Aiden having a baby thing into a weird situation, but it just makes sense to me that this is almost a continuation of five.
And another thing that people had mentioned to me on social media, a few people did, is that they couldn't believe that we didn't talk about how Carrie goes into, like, a fake Carrie. Like, she's a very theatricalized Carrie at this point. And I'm watching it for my first time, so I guess I don't notice it. I kind of notice it a little bit, but how she's just, like, really theatric. And, like, everything's just, like, a different style of acting.
Yeah, I have friends that talk about that, too. I think that part of it for me is just she's in a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that there's still a grounding to the character. I think that there's still a reality. But I think that there's a certain amount of, like, we are still playing. Like, you talk about how she has no control over her body.
Right.
It's just physical comedy.
Yeah, and I think it's also, maybe it's just we're getting to know her more. Because all of them do it. I mean, Samantha's been doing it since the first episode.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, our DVD recap. Now past their problems in the bedroom, Carrie and Berger move firmly into the next phase of their relationship, with Carrie making the first trip to Berger's apartment. Dealing with the new relationship of her ex, Steve, proves difficult for Miranda. Meanwhile, a zealous Charlotte continues her conversion with an accelerated course in the Jewish faith. But doubts arise when she realizes that becoming Jewish means giving up some of her own traditions. And we promise that Samantha's in this episode too, but we just don't talk about her in the recap.
And I'm not going to sing tradition.
In a single gal's life, there are three important firsts. The first time you have sex, the first time you have good sex, and the first time you see a guy you just started dating's apartment.
These can be in different orders, I hope, unless Carrie's always hosting.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you would have to see the other guy's apartment, unless Carrie's like, I'm sorry, I only host for the first...
You know what I do like about that, though? And it's something that we kind of talked about last week when I was talking about the podcast I listened to about representing sex in TV and film, is that, and we did acknowledge it in the last episode, but oftentimes the first time isn't great. So I like that we're dinging upon that again, that I think that sometimes when you watch TV or film, you're like, wow, you meet someone and have sex in a closet and it all works out great.
Yeah.
Whereas I do like that we're kind of get into like, no, sometimes it's, it takes a little while to get there. But yeah, so first time seeing the apartment. So I only have one ex, and I'm trying to think of the first time I saw where he lived. It definitely was into our relationship because he lived in New Jersey, and he lived with his sister, and he lived in the living room. But I was living in someone else's living room at the time, too. We were like 21, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, I think for me, because I've been single for a few years in my 30s now, those people in your 20s, your expectations are, you know what I mean? Like, we're all kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? We're all, like, living, and especially in New York, too. I think you just, everyone has roommates. Unless, like, all the people in my orbit are, like, actors or restaurant people.
Right. So I don't know a lot of people. I mean, we know one person that has their own apartment. But, like, most people that we know either have roommates or are with someone.
I think this experience always reminds me of, like, the times when you go to someone's house that you don't really know and they give you the address and you show up and you're like, you live in a very fancy building.
Well, one never knows. Gentlemen left to their own devices. Oh, you name it, I've seen it. Leather couches, 2-foot bongs. Dead body in the corner.
Dead body, huh?
I only went out with him for a week after that.
And she likes the paint.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that. That's Lauren.
Ralph Lauren?
No, Lauren, my ex. Girlfriend.
You can see the cards on the background.
I saw that.
That theme of him finding cards around the city.
I'm sorry, is that weird?
Please. You have a decorator. I have a decorator.
She doesn't need an alarm because she's not getting up early, but he has a sound machine.
Which I have a sound machine.
I mean, I have a sound machine. I like constant noise. Does yours make, like, frog noises?
Well, it's on an app on my phone, and the sound that I use is called Beach Rain and Thunder, and it sounds like this.
All right. That would work. I mean,
I wanted it longer so that if, like, people listening
just want to take a nap,
yeah, they can, like, loop that clip. Gotcha.
I have an air conditioner next to my bed. Mm-hmm. So when that's not going, I have another sound machine. I actually use them both at the same time. If I'm out of town, I do also have a sound machine on my phone, and I actually use the air conditioner setting.
Oh, yeah, they have that.
It's just
on mine
white
too.
Noise. Yeah. That would work. I don't know if I could deal with, like, the birds and the frogs.
Yeah. And I was like, I like that he's not really apologizing for it. He's like, yeah, it's my sound machine. He's not like, do you want me to turn it off for you?
Yeah, no. Yeah, he doesn't seem to really care, and she's kind of passive aggressive about, like, reminding us that she's not a fan of camping. Funny that Lauren got him the sound machine just after they started dating.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd like the random animals, yeah, but I think that would wake me up.
So when I first moved to New York, I remember, like, trying to fall asleep to, like, music, but then a new song would start and it would, like, bring me out of my sleep. So I think that I need more of, like, a white noise.
Well, one thing that I do fall asleep to sometimes, my friend Tom, again, he is listening to this right now and he understands because he does the same thing, is, like, falling asleep to really disturbing murder shows like 2020 or Forensic Files. And it's not because of the content, it's because they speak so monotone,
right,
that you're just like, but it's one, like, time a roommate of mine was like, yeah,
Dateline.
Yeah, my roommate came home and was like, all I hear is, and she was stabbed 43 times. And I look and you're just out.
Sorry. Sweet dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little tense, but I can't tell if he can tell.
I don't,
like,
know if
Carrie's,
he cares.
Definitely a little
this is like the season of the blasé guys. The guys who, like, we've got Harry,
that's
we've
cool.
got Burger.
Whatever. Yeah.
Steve.
Awesome. So we have four women going to a troubled woman's apartment for one drink.
And one drink means one drink.
Tell me why we're going to this again.
She's an old friend going through a breakup. We're being supportive.
Yeah, who tried to kill herself with 5 Advil on an empty stomach.
I thought it was 6 Advil. But maybe
6
it was,
Advil. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I
actually
was guessing.
Empty stomach. It's an interesting setup to then bring us to our special guest star of the episode.
Jennifer Coolidge.
I know. We just mentioned her in
the last episode.
Yeah.
After that asshole dumped me, I realized I have this amazing gift for designing bags. It's a purse party.
Oh. The first thing I was wondering was, did somebody in props have to make all of those
I'm
purses?
I'm sure they did. That'd be kind of fun, though. I feel like it'd be like a fun, like,
craft
arts
day.
And crafts. Yeah.
Or be like, everyone on crew, make one purse. We don't care what it looks like. Samantha has those 5 earrings. I wonder if that's for Chanel, like number 5.
I believe so, okay. Yeah. I also did just, I have to point this out, that past drinks are the worst thing.
You said that before.
Passing drinks is awful.
And there's like tuna tartines, yeah. tuna things. Jennifer Coolidge is great. I love her in Best in Show.
I mean, she's just so singular. I just love watching her. I think she's so funny.
Because of that fucker, I've discovered I'm Fendi.
And the bags aren't great, I wrote.
They're awful.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible. And then we kind of get to Carrie telling the girls that Berger opened the X file.
I mean, we just started dating. Do I really need to hear about the X already?
Which Charlotte thinks is a good thing.
It's the sooner the better. Maybe it should be the later the better. Or better yet, the never the better.
So yeah, Carrie just says that she was hoping to start fresh. Which I don't know if that's ever a thing. Like, you're always going to have to deal with the X.
Something, yeah. I mean, unless, like, you guys meet when you're babies. Weird.
That's a weird relationship. Yeah, I wrote that crazy approaches with a shoe purse.
Look at this one. Little shoes. Isn't this fun?
And she seems in good spirits.
Well, I'm sure, like, Advil isn't her only prescription.
No, I'm sure there's something else that's helping her out there. And as she leaves, we have a reveal.
The raw waiter.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that Charlotte's the one that recognizes him, but I guess they had to give her a line.
I fucked him.
Oh, that guy.
It's that waiter from Raw, also known as the best sex I've had in years.
They have reservations at 66.
Yeah, I believe this was a restaurant on Church Street.
Okay.
And it is now closed. I got a lot of weird, like, Route 66 and other, but like there was just a 66 that was way downtown.
Okay, but I can't stay out late because I have a 9 a.m. conversion class at the synagogue.
Charlotte has class in the morning.
Conversion class.
Yeah, she's accelerating her study. I actually remember watching this episode for the first time with my friend Abby, who is Jewish, and who commented on Charlotte's oi not being a very good oi. It's a very Episcopalian oi.
Yeah, well, it's a very manufactured oi.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just so much to take in. The history, the tradition, the philosophy, oi. You guys, that was my first oi.
And then I wrote that Crazy goes to the kitchen to get more tuna tartlets.
And finds Sam getting effed against the glass racks.
I was worried about the glass.
But maybe the waiter still has his apron on?
Maybe.
Or his pants on? Like, it's very... No one doesn't have their clothes on. Everyone is fully clothed.
And this is a thing in big, nice buildings, that there is a service entrance. There's, like, a
really?
Back stairway. Oh, yeah, I've been in a few buildings that have this. I've worked out of a few buildings like this before, where there's, like, the main entrance, and then in the kitchen there's another door, and it's a separate staircase that, you know, those that don't live in the house are expected to use.
When you're, like, working events for them.
Correct. Yeah. I did write that, you know, honestly, he's not a very professional server.
I'm way too fucking fragile to see this. You're fired.
And this goes badly very quickly.
Get the fuck out of my apartment.
And that's sort of the end of the party. But thanks for your appearance, Jennifer Coolidge. We appreciate you.
She had a pretty good part.
Yeah. So we get to Charlotte in class.
Where she is the star student.
Yes, I wrote she's the student who always raises her hand.
I feel like this is just Charlotte in every class.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rabbi Minch is back.
Yep. And we find out that Rabbi Minch, as he's talking about it, says that you're going to have to, you know, substitute your holidays. And that the biggest one for this is...
Christmas.
As you come to your rebirth as a Jew, you'll find special and new traditions to embrace. However... You must also bear in mind that you'll be letting go of your Christian traditions.
And this is, I mean, you know, we'll get to this as we go along. I know Jewish people that will sing a Christmas carol every once in a while.
Right. And I think, too, like, there's many times when the father's Jewish and the mother's Jewish and the father's not, and you know, the kids have celebrated both. But I think this is different because he wants to marry a Jewish woman, so she is converting.
And yeah, then she, and certainly your rabbi during your during this course is not going to be like, "Yeah, the Christmas tree is fine."
Yeah. So she's like, "Even just the Christmas tree?" And he's like, "No, Charlotte." And then she refers to him as the Minch who stole Christmas.
Yes, we do have a scene that happens before we cutaway, but it's fine. We can actually, Rabbi, he does like equate it to being a vegetarian and still eating meat. Okay.
Sure. You're not like celebrating Christmas every day.
Right.
I mean, I get it. I totally understand what he's saying.
I did also, I feel the need to point out that a gefilte fish isn't an actual fish.
It's the preparation of the fish, right?
Yeah. Like it's pickled. Like they take white fish meat and kind of grind it up.
Right.
And add things to it. And then, yeah. She just says like a gefilte fish to water. And if you put a gefilte fish in water, it would not do well.
It would just sink probably.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but in the midst of this, we do cut to Miranda and Steve. Steve's at the door. He's 20 minutes late because Debbie had car trouble.
Debbie? Who's Debbie?
Debbie, the girl I'm seeing.
Miranda basically shuts it down. It's like, I don't want to talk about Debbie.
I like that her name's Debbie.
Do you?
Yeah, you can just be like, Debbie.
And basically just tells him not to be late again, and then off she goes. So we cut to Carrie in bed. And, you know, this is just a time thing, but does anyone get awoken by a phone anymore?
If you have your phone on.
Yeah, I never have my phone on.
Even if you have it on Do Not Disturb, if the same number calls you more than a couple times, it eventually goes to ring.
Does it?
It rings. I think so. Yeah, you can set that.
Yeah, and it's big.
Remember that red dress you had?
What?
He's in California in bed, and he starts reminiscing about the dress and one time in the closet.
The Versace or the Gucci. Yeah, the one with the little straps.
Gucci.
And then, yeah, the time they were in the closet and he pushed her. Yeah. And then it cuts to four women at lunch, and she reveals that she had accidental phone sex with Big.
Well, actually, he had phone sex. I was on the other end trying to figure out a polite way to get out of it. Turns out, there is no polite way to get out of phone sex.
Well, I mean, what would you be like? I gotta go.
Like, yeah.
I guess. I mean,
you could be like, hey, I'm not alone. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that also she didn't want to stop him.
Right.
Yeah. And apparently it happens occasionally with them, which is new information.
Yeah.
But okay, I guess we'll retcon a little bit and say that Carrie and Big have
accidental phone sex quite a bit.
Once
and
in
Charlotte's
a while.
I just don't know why you want to drag all that big baggage into the new relationship. It's not baggage, it's biggage.
And Carrie really thinks that's great.
It's all in the past.
And on your phone bill.
And that's just something we don't worry about anymore.
Right.
Long distance calls.
Yeah. Yeah, Miranda gets into the diaper bag and pulls out.
Oh, honey, isn't the baby birth control enough?
They're Steve's. And Debbie's, his new girlfriend. That's her name. Debbie.
Where are they doing it, Jimboree?
Debbie does daycare.
Yeah, I just like that line.
Okay.
And also, I'm like, someone's using condoms, finally. And Brady starts to put them in his mouth.
Oh, honey, relax. I have those in my mouth all the time.
No, you don't. We don't even know if the waiter took his apron off.
So Carrie gets to thinking about tense relationships. And tense as in the present tense and the past tense. And then we get the question.
Can you get to a future if your past is present? I feel like we just talked about this with the anchor being the past, like holding us back. We have to let go of who we once were to become who we will be.
Yeah, but this is specifically to relationships. And I think what it speaks more to, can you start a new relationship if you are still one foot in the old relationship? Is kind of what I think she's talking about.
No.
Yeah, the answer is definitely no. I think that if you are still hung up in the past. And I don't mean the past. I mean a past relationship. If you're still invested there, I don't know that you'll have enough to give to something new. And I've had moments of this where I've thought, like, would I be open to something new to come along if I haven't gotten over something from my past? I don't know. I think that sometimes we trick ourselves into thinking, like, well, that's what will get me out of the past.
Right.
Be something in the future. And I don't know that it works that way.
No, and I also have, like, a lot of people lately have been talking to me about, like, well, when this thing is done or when this thing happens, that's when I'll start this.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I do that.
It's this thing, that thing will never happen.
Right.
Sorry, Mike.
No, but I know that it's true where I say, like, well, when this happens, I'll make sure that I blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, well, maybe I should blah, blah, blah.
And let that
in preparation thing for that thing to happen. Yeah.
You guys get all that?
Yeah, I think I was very clear.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Samantha's and find out that he got fired, which of course he got fired.
And she has a matching necklace for her lingerie.
That's nice.
Listen, I do feel bad about what happened. And I wanted you to have this.
$300?
I made some calls. That is what the A-list caterers pay.
And he just says that she's out of her mind.
Yeah.
Haven't
we been through this too? Carrie got that envelope of money. Yeah.
But Samantha was fine with that. Samantha was the one who was like, take the money.
And I don't think Samantha was paying him for sex. I think she was just like, hey, I'm sorry if I got you fired.
Right.
But also he's probably thinking, like, you think I'm broke?
Or like, I'm not a kept man. Like, you're not.
Ma'am.
Ma'am. How very dare you. We get to Carriot Burgers and she's staying behind.
Because he has a meeting that she wouldn't want to go to. And my first thought was that he was meeting Lauren.
Ah.
And that when that phone rang, we were going to get to the machine and Lauren was going to be like, hey, Burger, running 10 minutes late. See you soon. And then, this is my fan fiction. But that's not what happened. The phone rings.
And it is Lauren.
It is Lauren.
Call me. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, and he double flips off the answer machine.
The machine gets the double bird. And so we get to Carrie and Samantha. And Carrie's a little concerned.
And Samantha looks like lemonade.
Problem is, what's going on there? What big thing happened between them that would cause a double finger situation?
Men are crazy. I fucked that waiter at the party and he got fired for it. So I gave him $300 the next time we fucked. And now I think he's upset.
Okay, not the same situation.
Well, I don't see what the problem is. It's like a big tip.
Now, $300 in a restaurant is a big tip. $300 in the bedroom is a big prostitute.
Well, at least it wasn't phone sex.
He called me.
Sort of a sticking point for her. But I do like her little giggle at the end.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that.
And all I can think is, look at how friendly they're being with each other.
I think Carrie looks great there, though.
Yeah, she does.
She has like that half up, half down ponytail. She just looks very tame, but also
sweet.
Fun.
Sweet and fun.
Sweet and fun.
So Steve gets to Miranda's on time.
And I just want Miranda to say, Steve, I love you.
I know.
I want her to do that.
It's so rough because everything that she does is subtext to that.
Right.
Like everything she does is like, instead of saying that, let's talk about the condoms and me getting mad at you.
Come on, it's just condoms.
In the diaper bag, Steve? How much sex are you having that you need rubbers in the diaper bag?
What's it to you?
Say it. Like, just say it.
This is about your need to start taking responsibility for your child. And clearly, there are times when you can't because your mind is somewhere else.
And yeah, and she's like, I always keep my eye on Brady. And as Brady's like falling off
he's
the
fall
couch.
Off that couch for sure.
And he falls off the couch.
The only thing Miranda and Steve could agree on was separate diaper bags.
And like, that's how it's left? We're going to solve the problem
and
by
also
having
that's
more
a
than one
beach
diaper bag?
Tote. That's not a diaper bag. That's a beach tote, Miranda.
Wow. Elisa's on bag patrol.
Woo, woo, woo.
So we cut to Christmas and Bing Crosby. I'm pretty sure that's Bing Crosby singing.
What's all this?
It's my last Christmas tree.
And Harry does specify that it's July.
Yeah.
So there you go. We get a
but
month here.
But then he says she can have a Christmas tree. And I'm like, Harry, what is it? And I think Harry's pretty much saying, like, just graduate.
Yeah, all you have to do is just technically be Jewish.
Right.
I don't feel like Harry, he doesn't even know the dreidel song.
No, but Charlotte does.
I know the dreidel song.
Me too. I also know some Mormon songs.
You can have a tree. Lots of Jews do.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be a meat-eating vegetarian. Yeah, he just randomly sings the dreidel song, but doesn't know it.
Because it's her grandmother's ornament, and it's very rare to have blue Christmas ornaments.
They're usually red or green.
So we cut to Samantha's.
I'll be your waitress this evening. Tonight, I will be serving you.
And she doesn't know his name, so neither do we.
No.
Just kind of pointing it out there.
You don't know my name, do you?
Of course I do. Paul.
So yeah, we find out that his name is Jerry.
And he's not just a waiter. He's also an actor. And Samantha is surprised by this. I'm more surprised when I like meet someone who waits tables and they're like, yeah, I actually don't really do anything else. Or I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to school for science.
Non-acting waiters are more unusual. And I wrote that she's serving him, but she's mostly just eating whipped cream.
Yeah, and like spraying it all over him weird. Yeah. And then they make like a weird whipped cream coital surprise. She just starts having sex with him, but like there's whipped cream everywhere, so they're like rubbing it on each other with their bodies.
That has to be like a UTI waiting to happen.
Yeah, or like stinky sheets.
Gross.
Dairy everywhere.
So we get to Carrie in the sound machine and she can't sleep.
And the frogs?
No, the frogs are fine.
They start talking and we find out that Lauren cheated on Burger.
Yeah, Lauren wants closure. She cheated on him. She killed him and he was dead. Until Carrie came along. And did you have that moment of like, is Carrie going to tell him how her last relationship ended?
Yeah, that she just said no thank you after they were engaged.
After she had gotten back together with him, after she had cheated on him.
Right.
But we're not going to get there. Obviously, that would be a little bit much.
Never been that hurt? You want to tell me about it?
How much time you got?
I got all night.
Of course, she will probably only tell him how she was hurt.
Sure. And that's another important first, that she realizes this might be something.
So then she calls Big.
He's in his hot tub.
Underwater, though? Like, why is he just, like, chilling out underwater
just
in the
like
hot tub?
Wetting his hair.
Remember the
time we were in the jacuzzi in the Four Seasons.
Okay.
Hold on there, partner. This is not going to be one of those types of calls.
Yeah, and she doesn't talk to her friends like that. And they're friends. They're good friends. And she brings up Jack Berger, and he's not really into it.
No.
But this, you know, this is just their dynamic. When one of them is in a relationship, they're like, I'm in a relationship.
Yeah.
And the other one is like, that's good for you. Yeah. Bye. And now it's Carrie's turn to be like, I'm in a relationship.
His name is Jack Berger.
He's a writer as well.
Okay, kid. Hey, give me a call sometime.
You can tell he's upset.
Yeah. And we cut to Charlotte after 75 accelerated courses. Now, this does throw the timeline into question a little bit. Can you take more than one course a day?
I don't know. I started playing the banjo and I took 3 online lessons in 2 hours.
And are you a pro now?
I'm really good.
So yeah, I don't know. The timeline is a little bit weird as far as that goes.
Charlotte, the Episcopalian princess, was reborn a Jew, leaving the old Charlotte behind.
Of course, Charlotte wants to know if this tub was drained before her.
Well, not all of her.
So Carrie arrives at Berger's with a gift.
I finally figured out what you needed.
We have our Pulitzer joke, because I guess that's what writers joke about.
And I thought about it, and I narrowed it down to 2 choices. A Pulitzer Prize, or this.
Well, I already have a Pulitzer.
So
she made the right choice.
Yeah, and he opens it, and it is a new, sharper image. Yeah.
Sound machine. She doesn't care for frogs.
I don't care for frogs. And he chooses Surf Sounds number 4.
New start, new sound, and she sleeps soundly.
Which also sounds like a Spotify station.
I can hear that.
Surfing USA.
That's kind of it.
Yeah. So they mentioned Sharper Image again.
Have you ever shopped at Sharper Image?
Yes.
I don't know that I have.
You seem like their perfect client.
One would think.
I've shopped, and I think I thought this was what it was before. I've shopped at Brookstone. Are there Sharper Image stores still, or just catalogs? I couldn't help but wonder. Are there Sharper Image stores?
I don't think that there are Sharper Image stores anymore. I think it's all online.
Mike, what's yours? I couldn't help but wonder.
I couldn't help but wonder how Charlotte did 75 accelerated courses between last week's episode and this week's episode.
The magic of television. Yeah.
And that's it. This is an interesting episode.
I liked it.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, but I really, like, I just really want Miranda to tell Steve.
Yeah.
Tell him.
It does feel like we're in kind of
tell
like.
Tell him that the sun and moon rise in his eyes.
You don't have to tell him that.
Yeah, we could sing that duet to them. I'm Barbara.
Wait, who am I?
Celine Dion.
Oh, okay.
God.
That feels appropriate.
Thank you. I'm still not sold on Berger.
I really like Berger. Carrie and Berger are still going. Samantha's getting to know Jerry. Charlotte got through that conversion real quickly. And there you go. Continuing along season 6. We'll be back next week. All right, let's go. Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Pick a Little, Talk a Little.
I was going to sing the X-Files theme, but I have no idea what it is.
Something
there
like
it is.
That, I think.
Gina Davis.
No!
Oh. Wait, what's her name? David Duchovny and who?
Gillian Anderson.
Gillian Anderson.
You really went for it, though. I appreciate your moxie.
Thank you. Say it. Don't spray it. Maybe. And then at first, I also thought when she was like, it was very rare to have blue Christmas ornaments. Fan fiction was like, because during the Great Depression, blue dye was very hard to come by. So a blue Christmas ornament meant that your family was
at least just full of wealth across the room.
You know.
You make up some interesting stuff.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Samantha. I will be your waitress this evening tonight. I will be serving you. And should I start doing this at tables?
Absolutely.
In that outfit with just a can of Ready Whip. Hello, my name is Elise. I will be your waitress this evening. Tonight, I will be serving you. How long do you think I'd have my job for?
A few minutes.
Cool. Perfect.
Coming for the Dixie Chicks job?
I don't think anyone is. I don't know if they have a job still.
They have a new album coming out very soon, and I'm super excited about it. How dare you?
Jerry likes the way I do my corn. More corn, Jerry. That's from Grey Gardens.